The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Halloween. That means today is October 31st and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, to see a Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we have a discussion, a different type of discussion. We're going to have a discussion on a particular speech that was held in the House of Assembly, making some general announcements. And I enjoyed the contribution by the Member of Parliament. I thought, and that's where I'm going to bait Aaron, because Aaron Green is with me today, whilst we're going to analyze, instead of analyze the news, we're going to analyze this speech. And I want the general public, who listen in public, to help us analyze it, right? It's not really a long speech, but long enough, right? It's about 15 minutes that we're going to listen to it. But I thought that the contribution is merit, a warrant, an analytical approach. I thought the contribution is one of the better contributions I've heard in a while, because, you know, it tends to be all kind of acrimony and animosity in the House of Assembly. There's a very amicable exchange between the leader of the opposition and the speaker at this time. So we're going to talk about that. But before we start the speech and have that play, right? It's going to take like a 30 seconds between where the speaker is going to be introduced. And I wanted Aaron's commentary about big news, news about the development of the Bahamas, being said, done outside the Bahamas, either outside the Bahamas, or by people whose ministry has nothing to do with it. I find that concerning. I'm not sure if this is a regular thing that is going to be happening moving forward, where people are talking out of their scope, out of their realm. Or is this something that we should say, hey, this is just the Bahamas?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, two parts. There's been a trend over successive administrations that major announcements about local policy, local agendas are announced initially and sometimes discussed solely in foreign jurisdictions or in functions that center foreigners, whether entities or individuals, right? For instance, I'm always concerned that some of the most major national policies and policy shifts are announced at events like Business Outlooks, mm-hmm. that are focused on attracting foreign direct investment.
So it makes you question who's the audience or who's the targeted audience.
Right.
Even though it has something to do about Bahamians, and mainly about the Bahamians, clearly the targeted audience is external.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that we get it by happenstance,
mm-hmm.
but the conversation is not directed to mm-hmm. us. It's to lure other people. It's for the benefits of other people. And I find it's curious that Bahamians don't sound an alarm or declare, we don't like that.
Well,
you need to correct this narrative and have it addressed to us, address us, mm-hmm. because it has something to do with us.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think they see the issue, right? I don't think they see the potential dangers. I also don't think they see the dysfunction in governance, right? How do citizens then prepare themselves, enable themselves, build capacity to participate in investments in national projects if they only find out about it second tier, right?
Yes.
And how can I, the Bahamian, compete with a foreigner, right? Because with the introduction of the Commercial Enterprise Bill, that particular administration explained to us the importance of participating in global, not politics, but economics and being open to the world. But how do I, a Bahamian, compete equitably or equally if the foreigner has access to the information before I do?
Another talk show host said that the Bahamian dream is access. and that we need access to our political codes and our politicians and our government in general. We lack that, and that's why there are a number of behemoths are frustrated.
Let me introduce a slight nuance to that. We're not demanding access to the people. We don't care who you are. I don't need to speak to any particular minister. We need access to the information and the systems and the programs. But the current political culture is one that says you can only get to heaven through the MP. You could only get to heaven through the cabinet minister. All decisions, all power sits there, so you have to go to them. We don't want access to you, the individual. We want access to the things that you wrestle control of. Right? That's what we want.
And that's fitting. That's a fitting end now as we go and play this clip. I just signaling to the producer to play it. It's going to be the Honorable Frederick Mitchell, MP for Fox Hill. His response to the speech from the throne by Her Excellency, Most Honorable Cynthia Pratt. And he declares some new announcements. I want Aaron to take her pen right now and write down some of these new things that we announced. I'm not sure if the Bahamian people got to appreciate what is being announced. So that's why I said we're going to analyze this today. Go ahead, producer. Play that clip.
Mr. Deputy Speaker, I appreciate the leader of government business allowing this intervention now because I got a... some bottles, some fires. You know, they got me busy. And, you know, as he was speaking, you know, every time I run into him at the airport or something, I say, you know, I better come here and say, hello, Deputy Prime Minister, so I can save my job, you know, going into the future. So I do also want to welcome the youngsters who are sitting in the gallery this morning. And I was thinking, I didn't know if I could be as still as they are in those hard seats when I was their age. And so I promise you with the support of my colleagues that by the time you get to be in this position, those seats will have gone. We'll have a brand new building, proper bathrooms. So you'll have a much better place to come and have your children come and have a look. Right, that's a promise. I may not be around, but remember I said it on the day that you came to the house. But welcome, and I hope you enjoy it. Thank you very much. Mr. Deputy Speaker, just a couple of things I want to say at the start. And part of the reason I got up is because I want to make it clear to some people. You know, I guess one of my friends called me up the other day and said, you a fella can't take last. And so I can't help myself. But I want to say for all to see and hear this morning, quoting Mark Twain, who said, reports of my death are greatly exaggerated. And Shakespeare said in Julius Caesar, what private griefs they have, alas, I know not. But they're wise and honorable, and will no doubt with reasons answer you. So he also says, Mark Anthony said later, let's slip the dogs of war. I leave it there. I want to thank the Governor General for delivering a speech from the throne. And she did an excellent job. First foray. A person I admire greatly, have worked with in the cabinet, and is emblematic of the success of women in this country and of Bahamians generally. And there's no doubt that she will acquit herself well in the role which she now has at the height, the commanding heights of our country. The focus of a speech from the throne, for me though, comes with this. My eyes, always in politics, and I say wherever I am, are firmly fixed on the year 2026. That's it, plain and simple. And this speech from the throne is designed to get us across the finish line in 2026. And in 2026, Cecil Wallace Whitfield used to say, the rule is 50% plus one. And that's what this is designed to get. When we go to the Bahamian public in 2026, 50% plus one for the Progressive Liberal Party. Everything in it is designed to accomplish that fact. The country has been badly served, in my view, by 5 years here, 5 years there, 5 years there, 5 years. Badly served. Because policies can't get properly executed in the first term. So we need a second term. And the second term will concretize those things which have been started and established in the first term. But one of the things I said to the youngsters who are here this morning is we are working for your future so that once you get here, you won't be saying, why did those people, when they had the chance to do something, why didn't they do it? So when you have the power to do something, you do it. And even if you don't execute in your term, you have to be aspirational. The Deputy Prime Minister talked about the outreach in our foreign affairs to the Middle East. One of the things I admire about the countries that I've gone to in the Middle East is they are always in aspirational mode. So if you go to UAE, or you go to Saudi Arabia, or Oman, or Bahrain, they're always telling you, in 5 years, we're going to be doing this. In 6 years, this is going to happen. In 10 years, this is going to happen. And that's because if you don't set a goal, you'll be talking in air. You'll never have anything to get to. And so that's what we're doing. We're being aspirational for the Bahamas. So coming up, you can expect in the next session of the Parliament, further amendments to, it's called the Parliamentary Service Act. And one of the things this will be designed to do is to synergize the relationship between the resolution that was passed in the last session to create a budget and management committee of the House with the present Parliamentary Service Commission, which will be taking care of the management of the House of Assembly. The other job that we aspire to is the creation of a new parliamentary building. And the Cabinet made a decision several weeks ago that the site at the top of Parliament Hill will now be the new design site for the Parliament. And I think that's a significant decision. The architects have been briefed. The architects have been briefed. There's a design which is ongoing as to what should go on the site and what it should contain. But it will be much better than the quarters in which we are for both staff and for members of Parliament and senators. And I was coming to that, the public, because that's what this is all about. Can we deliver the services which the public demands from a building which was built in 1815 and has not had one addition to it since? It was designed for three staff, says the clock. And in 1815, this building represented the wealth which then existed in the Bahamas. The revolution in the United States had brought the loyalists from the United States who had been granted land in the Bahamas and their ability to move to the Bahamas. And they brought their wealth with them. And with their wealth, they decided to design these buildings and build these buildings. So our generation, with the wealth which now exists, should have something which is emblematic of this generation and its future contribution to the Bahamas. So I'm hoping, as I said, we aspire to do so, and I'm hoping that we have the support of members of Parliament in getting to that goal. I also want to say on the business of parliamentary affairs that the plan is at some point to bring the regulatory authority to deal with benefits, allowances, et cetera, through the parliament itself, because the country's now taken the first step in separating those functions from the executive. And one of the reasons why the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party sits in the cabinet is following a tradition in the United Kingdom, where the chairman sits in the cabinet so that party and cabinet are consonant. And there's able to be a synergy between the decision-making of the cabinet and the execution of policy through the political party. So this is not a strange tradition. And it is felt that if the House is actually managing its affairs, one, the constitutional theory of the separation of powers is then embedded in our systems in practicality. And then, secondly, it makes for the more efficient running of the business of the House. And one of the ways this comes through to me is, for example, what happens when you are no longer a member of Parliament? I told the story of seeing Gerald Cash, Sir Gerald Cash, forgive me, the former Governor General, who retired as Governor General after 10 or 11 years of service. And one day, the Treasury was over in that building, which is then called the Adderley Building. And I go over to the Adderley Building, and I find the man who was Governor General the week before standing on a line in the Treasury. There's this long line of people. He's standing on a line in the Treasury. So I walk in, and I asked him, well, why are you standing on this line? And he said, oh, I have to come in to verify that I am a pensioner so that I can continue to receive what is due and owing to me. And I made a mental note then that having served in that office requires some dignity even after the office. The Parliament made provisions for pensions for former governors general, former prime ministers, former members of parliament. I just want to say tangentially, members of parliament, their pension is contributory. People keep saying how you work for 8 years and you get all this slack money as a pension, but it's your money. It's your money that's being set aside for you when you retire. So there should be an office in the parliament which deals with those who have served here before. And this has come up several times in the last 2 years that we've been in office, with former members of parliament who have died impecunious, former members of parliament who get seriously ill and cannot afford medical bills, former persons who have served with distinction, who just happen not to, in the circumstances they find themselves after office, denuded of everything which they have. And that, to me, is a fundamental indignity to our country, that we, with all the wealth the country has, cannot say something to assist and help on a practical, functional, legal basis those who have served here before. And I know it's convenient and fashionable to say how we get all this glamorous work and we get all these things riding up and down, but I can tell you, every member of parliament here at the end of the month has nothing left in their bank account. I can assure you. I can assure you. I can assure you. I can assure you. So there's a sacrifice which comes with public service. And there should not be any division on this point. And these are things, Mr. Deputy Speaker, that the Prime Minister and I spoke about in 2017, when the PLP lost the election, and I'm sitting in my office in Fox Hill, and I get this phone call because I'm trying to figure out, wanting to be in the life in politics, what do you do next? And he indicated at that time, I'm asking you to head the Senate for the next term. And we talked about what should we be planning to do. And one of the things we talked about is precisely this, improving the parliament that we're in, improving the services that we offer to the public through the parliament that we're in. One of the issues we talked about was bringing in sessions. Sessions had long been abolished. I think most prime ministers just went for the full 5 years. And the last session I think was called midterm, must have been the one in 1976, when if you listen to Eddie Minnis's song, Show and Tell, it'll tell you the story of what happened in 1976. So what happens then is there's an argument. Yeah, sorry. The students are taking their leave. Mm-hmm. How much time is on the clock? How much time? Say? 14. Left? Okay. All right, thank you so much. So I got 14 minutes, but so what happened in 1976, just to refresh the memory of people?
No, I know that's a little bit long, and it's about 4 or 5 minutes more of crucial information that's being said in the House Assembly. I think this is one of the better contributions by a member of parliament, because it gives detail of what would be happening in the Bahamas in the immediate future. Like, I did not know cabinet had decided that there's $2 billion on top of the Hill Parliament Street. That's East Hill Street. That's where the central bank was going to be built, or was, and it got canceled, and where the post office
used to be,
right? So I'm not sure which one is considered on top of the hill, on top of Parliament Street Hill, if it's the post office, or is it Victoria Gardens? So I'm not sure. So that's something interesting, right?
The article today says East Hill Street.
Yeah, but both are on East Hill Street, depending on which entrance you go.
I understand.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'm not sure. So it could be the post office building, and or where it is. What I also found entertaining was the pension fund and the contribution regarding that, right? And I appreciate the gesture. If we had listened more on the particular contribution that was going to give information on the chairman's and the minister's position on him running for chairmanship of the Progressive Liberal Party, he made mention that this is something usual that happens to the United Kingdom.
Let's.
And I know there are a number of behemoths who say, hey, why is the chairman a member of parliament and a minister, and that it causing chaos or friction.
A conflict of interest, which they seem unwilling to manage appropriately.
Apparently, it happens in the United Kingdom. Listen, where we take our lead from.
No, we don't take our lead from
here. We don't take our lead from
here.
No, United
how
Kingdom?
Many members of the HOA know the difference between Westminster and Westminster
but
systems?
We aspire to
We don't aspire to emulate them, to follow their conventions. What we do is we cherry pick and use whatever we feel is politically expedient at the moment to our benefit.
And definitely this is politically expedient for the Progressive Liberal Party, and they has accepted this particular choice to have a member of parliament, a sitting member of parliament, who is also a minister, to be the chairman of the party in order to have some direction where the party machinery and thinking is the same as the cabinet thinking,
but
and that they don't conflict.
PLP party is not running the country.
But the memberships are part of both.
The administration, the Davis administration.
But you cannot separate people.
Of course you can.
They think alike.
They have two separate constitutions.
Yeah, but.
So, okay then. So when conflict arises mm-hmm. between the party constitution mm-hmm. and the national constitution, what happens? Are you going to debate which one should supersede the other?
They conclude which one they go after.
No, because the national constitution supersedes any party constitution.
Let me give an example. The party put forward a platform, which was later adopted by the Governor General at speech to the throne.
Even Monroe will remind you that abortion wasn't on the blueprint for change.
Same platform. That's why they're not even entertaining the conversation of abortion at all.
Or wait till I get my 3-page.
They always remind you that it's not part of their platy platform, which has been adopted by the speech of the throne.
I got the notes right in my bag, so let's not take this forward. We could go anywhere you want to go.
What the last minister said is, no one in the state of Bahamas is lobbying for the abortion debate to continue.
Keisha Adley from the OPM's office said was that, you know, if enough people want it, the government will jump on it.
Yeah.
But that's the government ignoring the advocacy that's taking place around it.
We've been advocating for weed for going on 20 years.
I don't know what weed
ain't coming.
I don't know what weed is. I want a mulcher. That's a weed whacker. That's what I want.
Marijuana.
Here's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Here's a quote from Mr. Mitchell in there. My eyes in politics, quote, fixed to 2026.
Yes.
What an interesting way to say I'm stuck on politics.
We are a political
What an interesting country. Way to say that I cannot switch from politics to governance.
But there's nothing wrong with that.
What an interesting way to say you should not elect me as chairman.
Now,
because
about chairman
it will conflict with my work as Minister of Foreign Affairs, as a cabinet minister, and an MP, because I will be stuck, the word fixed.
See, and he
explained, my eyes on politics, 2026.
Pause a minute. From the chairman's, Frederick Mitchell, earlier speech and voice notes I heard referenced inside the news, he says that the executive of the party, which means the prime minister and the deputy prime minister.
Leader and the deputy leader of the party.
That's the
executive of the party. They are leader and deputy
and
leader in the party.
You are arguing about the semantics.
No, and we're not arguing
but
about semantics because deputy prime minister does not even exist.
I will yield to
In fact, I want to say just quickly.
Go ahead.
Because Fred said it.
Yeah.
I just want to say it. We don't have a DPM. He can't save your job. Cooper could afford to give you any job you want, though.
And all that semantics.
And now I yield.
All that semantics. We have heard that the chairman said that the executive of the political party
mm-hmm.
wants him to stay as chairman.
I need to hear that from the executive of the party.
They haven't said anything yet. And we have heard, and they say silence gives consent. And we have heard.
Oh, no. That's all rape culture.
We see that the prime minister, mm-hmm. I think we call it deputy prime minister, have not made any mention that he's uncomfortable with a chairman being inside his cabinet. So again, silence gives consent, right? So with the silence that gives consent, and with the utterance of the chairman, who is the Minister of Foreign Affairs, who's also the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, mm-hmm. we must assume, or we can assume, that the machinery and the leader by de facto prime minister and leader of the PLP supports his bid.
See, in the PLP party, mm-hmm. they could talk about silence means consent.
Yes.
At the national level, that cannot fly. It's antithetical to the provisions of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Silence does not mean consent.
Mm-hmm.
The state is obligated to ask and wait for an answer from the people. That's why it's so important mm-hmm. to make this distinction between party culture and national governance culture.
Have you ever went to the House Assembly? It's a broad question and general question, right? It's not necessarily I need you to say yes or no.
Yeah.
The bathrooms there are inadequate. The the offices there are inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
The space is inadequate.
So you say that they're being forced?
Only 20 to 25 people can go and watch the House of Assembly. And if they have an official function, they have to bring in chairs, right? If anyone take sick and have to use the bathroom for a long period of time, everybody else got to go across the street or go down the road.
So you're telling me in the House of Assembly, they're being forced to work in conditions that many Bahamians are being forced to work in? That's what you're saying. See, let me take you back to this, and this statement about meeting the former Governor General, Gerald Cash, mm-hmm. on the line at the Treasury, right? And I just wanted to say, I bet Sir Cash found dignity in doing what ordinary Bahamians have to do in this country.
I don't believe a Mother Pratt should be on any bank line in her elderly state, or a Marguerite Pinglin should be doing that. There should be an aide attached to them because they were governor generals. I just believe there should be an aide.
I don't.
So a department that deals with their issues.
I don't have a problem with that.
That's
but,
good.
But that is separate from the statement that I made, mm-hmm. that I bet Sir Cash found dignity in doing what ordinary Bahamians have to do once he became an ordinary Bahamian again.
Or humility. We have some calls there. Let's pass these calls in and make them quick.
Because I get about 60. You,
I want you to read all of it.
You forced me to listen to this.
And that's why I want you to read it, listen to the rest, but we got to talk about it. Go ahead for the first caller. Go ahead, caller. Call Gern once.
And Nui.
Go ahead.
Morning.
Let me make it quick. First of all, no Christian in Parliament should be supporting abortion in a Christian nation. My second point is I support, I like what Mr. Mitchell say, I support him leading the way in 2026.
You mean to be leader of the PLP?
No, leading the way in the election.
What do you mean, leading the way in the election? We have a parliamentary registrar.
Well, no, he's a...
Wayne Monroe is the minister responsible for elections.
And chairman of the PLP. I want to be chairman heading into the 2026 election. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Should he still be a member of the parliament and a member of cabinet if he does so?
I don't know if he's going to run again. I don't know if that's up to the constituency of...
But you see what he said in the paper today. See what see what's said in the paper today, and what Nuri what we listened to on the clip by Nuri. He laid out a, I wouldn't say impressive, but extensive case for why a chairman must be in cabinet.
I understand that, and something to reflect on. I'll give you that answer in 2020.
Okay.
Can I get some more callers here? Let me press on. Go ahead, producer. Press the text caller through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Call Gern once.
Hey, good morning, CA.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I hope you're doing well.
Doing well, sir.
Listen, I take umbrage to what Mr. Fred Mitchell was doing in Parliament yesterday. I think as a seasoned statesman and a seasoned politician, the House of Assembly is not the place to discuss the chairmanship of a political party. The Constitution says that Parliament should make laws. They should pass laws for the good governance of this country. That is what the business of the House ought to be. All of these things, that's just wasting the people's time. They're not doing anything in Parliament that is going to govern this country and make the Bahamians feel safe. They're not taught. They said that, you know what, we're going to look at... bringing more punitive damages or measures for crime and whatnot, and all they keep doing is just wasting the people's time. They are being paid for this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They are being paid to do the people's business, and I want this government to know, get about governing this country. It feels like we like almost like Dr. Men. It's like we are autopilot. It feels like our country isn't being governed. You know, and these parliamentarians need to know that their job, they are lawmakers.
Thank you, sir.
They want to be passing laws to make our country a better country.
Thank you, sir.
And get to work.
Absolutely.
Now.
Thank you very much.
Let's get one more caller, and then we go to the text, and then Aaron read off a list. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, CA, good morning. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Aaron, continue with the press forward with your message this morning. You're very much on point. Your points are well taken. And as the previous caller and the caller, previous to that caller, would have said, and I want you guys to pay close attention to what the what persons in the community and persons, the lay persons out here, what their thoughts are, and as it relates to the governance of this country. This country does seem to be on autopilot. We have not seen any true advancement per se for the average person on the ground. And these are the things that people are really looking at. You know, we're talking about increased tourist arrivals here in this country. But how does that trickle down to the average person on the ground feeling the positive effects of these people coming here to the country? You're taking credit for people traveling, but people have been traveling since the lockdown from the pandemic. So where's the major promotions of this country? Other than, okay, you did all this flying up and down all over the place, but the Bahamian people are still waiting to hear what has been accomplished on these trips. What is it that has been discussed? What is it that we are giving up in terms of having their people come here? And so on and so forth. This government has been lackluster in communicating effectively with the Bahamian people and telling us on how they're handling our affairs as it applies to this country. I'll close on this one very quick note here. If anyone believes that this upcoming by-election is any indication of what the next election is all about, basically, you'd be sadly mistaken, because this is no indication, none whatsoever, up ahead what the next general election is going to be. So do not allow these people to fool you with false rhetoric, because this thing does not make any sense to the average person on the ground. Thanks for taking my call this morning.
It's my pleasure.
Absolutely.
I see I got several quotes responding to Mr. Mitchell's position on a reason why a chairman of the party should be also a part of the cabinet.
And several texts.
Yes.
Plenty text.
Plenty text on that. We could read that, and I know Aaron have a list. But let me read this excerpt from the Conservative Party in the United Kingdom, because Mitchell used that as a reference point, right? And it says, when the Conservatives are in government, the office holder is usually a member of the cabinet holding a... Sinecure?
When the Conservatives are in government, the office holder is usually a member of the cabinet holding a...
Sinecure?
It says sinecure position, such as minister without portfolio. That word is S-I-N-E-C-U-R-E.
Sinecure.
First time I'm seeing it. Position, yeah. Such as minister without portfolio.
So I wanted to bring that up.
Yeah.
Mr. Mitchell is a minister of foreign affairs and not a minister without portfolio.
Portfolio, right.
And I know that he used... that example to say, hey, this is commonplace.
Yeah.
But a minister without portfolio is completely different from a minister, an established minister. So right. I just want to read that.
And it says, deputy or vice chairman of the Conservative Party may also be appointed with responsibility for specific aspects of the party.
Hmm.
The party.
But, yes. But go ahead with your list and then we can read the rest of the text. What's going on?
All right, so I wanted to say this. How many people in the House of Assembly understand, appreciate, or care about Mr. Mitchell's Shakespeare reference? Outside of the three words...
You didn't like the Shakespeare reference?
Outside of the three words, dogs of war. Who in that house? Who in that house right now?
I enjoyed it. But I like literature, though. Right, different. But go ahead. I understand your point.
I just want to say this to the chairman, Minister of Foreign Affairs, and MP for Fox Hill, in any of the capacity he's holding at the moment... You can't pretty up gang culture and gutter politics with Shakespeare quotes. You can't. First of all, you tell us you're stuck on politics. Then you're going to tell us 50% plus one for the Progressive Liberal Party as if all you need to do is win. That's it. We just need that one. Once we got the power, we in.
But what is the chairman's job? Isn't that his job to win?
I don't have a problem with the chairman mm-hmm. wanting to win. What I have a problem with is the complete and utter promulgation of gang culture as politics and the insistence that there's nothing that could be done about it because that's just politics, right? The minister himself has been the bearer of dangerous political rhetoric over the last several weeks.
Mind you, if we had listened to the rest of the voice, when we'll do it later
yeah,
on,
yeah.
He mentions the minister mentions that this is a part of politics, that he doesn't take it personally, that when he's attacked, and I'm just my words now paraphrasing, he responds in kind. So people who
entertaining. Yes, yeah. He needs to be fired right away. Hear what the man said? When people attack me, I don't get my feelings hurt. I just attack them back. That is the clearest signal I've ever heard.
It was a
that
beautiful
he
quote.
Is prepared to remove himself from politics because he is no longer fit to be a leader of a country of people.
In the future, I'll cut and paste that so it'll be shorter so we can analyze that. But that was said in essence.
Further, they don't deserve a second term. No one deserves a second term. You need to prove.
You don't think every government need to have two terms at least in order to bring in their initiatives? This swapping every 5 years that we've been doing?
No. If you cannot create a political strategy that allows you to achieve goals within a five-year timeline, then you are not fit for governance. It's like the proof that I am using to determine that you are not fit for government is what you think proves that you should have another 5 years. If you cannot create a manageable timeline, then why should I give you 5 more years to run amok?
This text says, the plan this lousy administration headed by Davis and Cooper had for this country is high electricity bills, high taxes, reduced social service budget, raised travel budgets, and raised consultancy budget from $60 million to $75-plus million. Davis and Cooper's days are numbered in Parliament along with this lousy administration.
But we don't know what the number actually is because they also brought with them confidential settlements and clauses in place of fines that should be public record. I just want to make that point. Another point I want to make quickly. Mr. Mitchell referenced the need to hire young people, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say to him that hiring young people is not the same as legislating solutions for young people, enforcing protection mechanisms and legislation for young people, or creating opportunities for young people. All you've done is create an opportunity for a handful of your party supporters. That's it. That's all. Nothing more.
I just came to my memory that the leader of the opposition also responded to Fred Mitchell commentary in the House, right?
Yeah.
And it said that Bahamas Uncensored made some unscathing remark about persons who are opposing him. And then Mr. Mitchell said, who is this Bahamas Uncensored? I laughed. I found it funny, right? Because if no one knows who Bahamas Uncensored is. But It tells a tale that he believes that challenging is part of politics. However, the response to the challenge is also appropriate and a part of politics.
Of course you should respond to the challenge. But, I mean, you're the chairman, the Minister of Foreign Affairs. Do like what Michelle Obama say do. When they go low,
you go high.
You go high. Yeah. And not the cannabis legislation either, sir.
Yes. But anyway, if we can take a quick break right here, we come back to all the texts and everything, and we continue to analyze the speech made by Fred Mitchell, who is the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party, who is also the Minister of Foreign Affairs, and we compare him about and whether it's appropriate for him to keep both jobs. Anyway, we'll be right back.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama News in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas, so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. And of course, Aaron Green was with me. What I found also interesting, Aaron, whilst I was analysing the speech, the chairman, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, said most members of Parliament broke.
No, that's not what he said. He said every member of Parliament at the end of the month has no money left.
Because they spend it on their constituents, right? And I found that interesting because I always thought our member of Parliament make money or made money in the House of Assembly.
Well,
that was very enlightening.
We don't know because we are not privy to their declarations that are supposed to be gazetted and the public disclosure list that's supposed to be gazetted.
Look where you're going.
We just won't know, right? We just won't know. However, I don't need the declarations, the summary declarations or the disclosure list to know that he could not have been talking about Davis, Cooper, and Minnis. He could not have been talking about them three. I've not delved further, but I could just say off the top of my head, you ain't talking about Davis, Cooper, and Minnis, so why are you talking? So what is he talking about? What is he talking about, Mr. Nuri?
The paycheck is inadequate, I'm assuming he's saying. That's what I assume. The paycheck is inadequate. That they need to have their pension.
The performance is not adequate, and I think that is clear now. The performance is not adequate. No manner of renovation could be used to justify the poor performance in the House. They cannot even fulfill the basic function of public disclosures being gazetted.
Let me read these two texts. It says, it's interesting that Fred Mitchell would use the UK as an example to support his position. Tell him not to cherry pick, but let's implement some other stuff, like freedom of information or Prime Minister's question. Okay. Other foolishness. Fred Mitchell is using the UK example because he thinks we don't read and won't be able to check him. Next text says, notice the excerpt when the Conservative government, friend ain't no Conservative, by the way, and I know he doesn't support them, then notice it's minister without portfolio. Isn't Fred Mitchell the Minister of Foreign Affairs? So call it wickedness. I found that interesting also.
Mm-hmm.
Inside there. But go ahead. Let me list some more texts.
People are aware. People are listening. And like you say, it's one of the more coherent contributions in the HOA in recent times. But I wish I had that Shakespeare quote at mind when you're doing a whole lot of talking, but you ain't saying nothing, just dancing across the stage like life is just a play. And even though you're a leader and you're supposed to be governing people's lives, you just tell them life is a play. You better catch your seat in the front row, buddy.
Life is but a stage where every man must play a part, and mine should be a merry one. This text says Aaron is on point with cherry picking.
Yeah. I mean, the next thing is, just at the very beginning of his statement, I just wanted to remind him that he does not have to run. And if these things become a tremendous pressure to him, right, like he's under so much pressure that he does not know that he's an elder statesman and should hold his tongue when people attack viciously, he should promote a different dispensation of politics. One of the easiest things for him to do is to retire. You don't have to retire from politics entirely, you know. You just don't need to be in the cabinet. Because that seems like a lot of pressure.
I saw on social media, it says that the chairman has a campaign manager. I'm not sure if that was true or not. But I said, why would you need a campaign manager?
The image I saw, it was posted, it's purported to be posted by Eyewitness News. When I saw it, I look at it, and I didn't even explore it any further.
Mm-hmm.
But the image says that Danny Johnson
is a campaign manager.
Is a campaign
manager. I just said, that can't be real.
No, because
no need.
Why would Fred? Why would you need a campaign manager?
Mm.
Elder statesman, all the experience, right? You even know what Shakespeare to quote at the appropriate time.
I also want to you give maybe tomorrow Wednesday we analyze in the news the position of PLP women, the women's branch of the PLP, and their position on having a Robin Lines, a woman, a female deputy chairman run against the chairman, the sitting chairman, and their position? Do they support her? Do they support her as women in general?
You think because I wear an dress today, I know what these other women be thinking, eh?
I know, but they quiet.
I don't know what the women in politics be thinking.
Last text says, the Bahamas is not practicing the Westminster form of government. It's practicing a communist, a socialist government like China. That ain't true. They are playing a survival game to remain in power as long as they can and at all costs. They always think of benefits of being a non-member when they are out of government, miss the power they once had.
Look here, Fred said it himself. He can't take loss.
He can't
help himself. So it's time for the PLP to help him help himself. And by doing that, maybe you help the rest of the nation. Help the man. He's under a lot of stress.
Well, the PLP's convention soon, the only position they're challenging right now is the chairmanship. It seems that people are unhappy because that's the only one they're challenging. And we'll see who wins and see if woman power is there, to see if the women branch of the Progressive Liberal Party will come to the aid or support of a fellow member, or they'll sit silent and be led and be quiet.
Mm-hmm. Like they tell Glenys Anna Martin do on the convention floor last time.
In the background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive and in a dress, eh?
Yeah, what a time to be wearing a dress. Anyway, Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.